Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
It's the Brian Lehrer Show on WNYC. Hello, everybody. Happy Monday. And a little follow-up right off the bat from the AP Wire to the newscast we just heard. The Supreme Court is staying out of the gun debate for now as pertains to New York State. The justices this morning declined to hear a challenge to a strict New York State law that makes it difficult for residents to get a license to carry a concealed handgun in public. So New York's tough concealed carry law has been upheld in effect by the Supreme Court because they won't hear a challenge to it. And yet it's possible that the gun control compromise now in the Senate could weaken that very same New York State concealed carry law. So we will get to that as part of our Monday morning politics conversation that we're about to begin. And how's this for a political box to be in? Immigration reform and gun reform bills are both taking center stage in Congress, and Republicans willing to break with past orthodoxy may feel they have to choose between them because they can't go out on a limb on two things at the same time. At least so says the New York Times today. So let's look at the changing dynamics in both areas with Bob Cusack, managing editor of The Hill, which covers Capitol Hill. Bob, thank you very much for coming on. Welcome to WNYC.
Thanks for having me, Brian.
And so the news from the Sunday talk shows, what we heard for days going into the Sunday talk shows was that Marco Rubio, the Republican senator from Florida, was making the rounds, going on five shows, ready to tout the immigration bill emerging from the bipartisan so-called gang of eight senators. Why are they always gangs? I thought the gun bill is trying to fight gangs. But I subjected to myself to, let's say, more than one Marco Rubio appearance yesterday, and I chose clips from CBS Face the Nation to use as examples. So first, he tries to portray the bill as moderate by giving it to both left and right. Note the subtle Romney self-deportation reference here.
The proposals in the past that some have advocated is to make their lives miserable so that they'll leave on their own, or to basically ignore the problem, which is happening now and is de facto amnesty.
Then he gets into all the things that will be required, before anyone currently here illegally will be able to become a citizen. This is about 30 seconds worth of provisions.
They'll have to come forward and pass a rigorous background check. If they're criminals, they won't qualify. Although if they pass that background check, they'll be given the opportunity to pay an application fee and a fine. And in return for that, they will get a worker permit that will allow them to stay in the U.S., work, travel, and pay taxes. They will not qualify for any federal benefits of any kind, including Obamacare. And they will have to be in that system for over 10 years before they can apply to the existing legal immigration system for a green card.
So there you go. And those are just the things that the individual will have to do. Listen, there's more.
That will be dependent upon certain security measures being met. That means securing the border, universal E-Verify, and a universal entry-exit tracking system. If those three things are not in place, that green card process won't begin, even if the 10 years has elapsed.
So if that sounds like a lot, it is. And he concluded by saying to Bob Schieffer on Face the Nation, maybe the undocumented who want citizenship shouldn't even take what's offered in this bill. It's so onerous.
I would argue that the existing law is actually more lenient, that going back and waiting 10 years is going to be cheaper and faster than going through this process that we are outlining.
So that is a lot of hurdles before anyone currently here illegal can become a citizen. So Bob Cusack, after all those Marco Rubio clips, why is the bill crafted this way, and politically, will it work?
Well, it remains to be seen, but Rubio is definitely on board. He was seen as, you know, he's key to this gang, and if you don't have Marco Rubio, you're not going to get conservatives on board. So the fact that they are nearing agreement in both the House and the Senate, because there's a different group of members, bipartisan, in the House that are about to unveil their own bill, and it's going to be different than the Senate bill. But Marco Rubio is the key person here. He's making the case that the law is broken and needs to be fixed, and the stakes are so high for him because obviously he's a front runner for the 2006 GOP presidential nomination.
How about those metrics in one of those clips outside the individual immigrant's control? declaring the border secure, et cetera. Last I heard, there were no specific measures in the bill for declaring that to be the case. He's talking about E-Verify being in place. He's talking about, a very high percentage of the border having a fence, I guess. He's talking about a very high percentage of those who try to sneak in being caught along the U.S.-Mexico border. What's actually required there before any of these individual immigrants currently here illegally can even apply for citizenship?
Well, he's saying, that border security is going to be a big component of this bill. And there are some on the left that are not happy about that. And there were some protesters recently outside Senator Schumer's office complaining that the bill seems to be focusing more on border security. Now, we haven't seen the bill yet, and there are many questions that need to be answered. How long before you can get your green card? And as far as number one, what is this bill going to be called? There's politics just in the name of it. And what happens as far as back taxes and fines? How big are they going to be? So a lot of unanswered questions, mm-hmm. but a lot of those questions are going to be answered pretty soon because the bill is going to be released soon.
You know what else made my ears perk up in one of his answers when he said nobody here illegally who would start going down this path to citizenship would be eligible for federal benefits, including Obamacare.
Yes.
And with respect to Obamacare, well, that's mostly a private system where, private health insurance companies sell their policies on an exchange, and everybody in the country is required, if they're not covered by an employer, to go out and buy one of those policies. And then depending on their income, they'll get subsidies from the government to help them afford it. So would any of that, some of that or none of that, apply to the undocumented on this path?
This is a big bone of contention, and you talk to Republicans and Democrats of how Obamacare is going to factor into immigration reform, and you get a little bit of different answers. But there's no doubt about it. I think that both sides agree that want immigration reform is that they've got to put Obamacare a little bit to the side here because it's so controversial. But regardless, when you eventually get your green card, then you would be eligible for Obamacare, and that's. But that is a long road, and that's what Republicans are going to stress, that this is a long road, and no one gets to jump ahead of the people that are already in the system. So they're saying this is going to be a fair bill. And also, one thing that Marco Rubio definitely stressed yesterday is that this is not a take-or-leave-it proposal. It's that it's going to go through committee. It's going to go on the floor. There's going to be a ton of amendments. And we saw that in 2006, 2007, the last time immigration reform nearly passed the Senate and passed the Congress. At one time it did pass the Senate, is that there can be poison pill amendments that can take down the entire bill.
Right.
We might see that also on gun control.
Bob Cusack, editor for The Hill, as we talk about the immigration reform and gun reform bills coming to front and center in Congress this week. On what you just said about going to the back of the line, which Rubio made it sound very much like on his TV appearances yesterday, so you don't get ahead of people who came here legally, that's only for citizenship. In other words, what he didn't explicitly say, or at least emphasize, in that whole list of obstacles to citizenship that we played, is that they are not obstacles to remaining here and remaining here legally once this bill goes through. And some people who may have waited to even try to come in until they get approved for entry, well, the people here illegally have jumped ahead of them. So way before citizenship, which would only come in 2026 at the earliest, according to what we heard, like right away, all the same people can get documents that permit them to live here and work here, right?
Yeah, that's right. And there's also some, when you get into the details of high-skilled visas, and farm workers, ag workers, this is not going to be, life is not perfect. I think this bill is not going to be perfect because there's going to be different approval processes for different types of people, especially for high-skilled people that only have a certain amount of time on their visa. That's going to be addressed in the House and Senate bills. So, they're going to keep saying this is fair and no one's going to jump ahead of the line, there are going to be exceptions to that rule.
And when he talks about how it might be more onerous under the new law to get citizenship than the old law, well, it might be longer That was his point. You might have to wait 13 years to get citizenship staying here, whereas if you leave the country and wait 10 years to come back legally and get citizenship that way, you might get your citizenship more quickly. But citizenship isn't necessarily the goal for a lot of people. They want to come here and have their lives and have their employment. And, of course, it's good to get citizenship. You have the power to vote then and everything. But citizenship is not necessarily the main goal for most of the people who are undocumented today. So.
Yeah. And it's, you know, there's you get into other issues, too, as far as labor law and Davis-Bacon, how it's going to apply to immigration, the cost of this bill, what agency is going to be administering these new programs, because, you know, some Republicans who don't want immigration reform are going to go after it, either on its price tag and or creating a new government bureaucracy. So a lot of hurdles for the Gang of Eight to overcome.
Let me take one call for you on this, and then we'll move on to the developments on the gun bill. Vic in Manhattan, you're on WNYC. Hi, Vic.
Hi. Yes, I'm just kind of puzzled why it's never brought up about guest workers. I'm speaking about farm workers, which are jobs, obviously, that can't be outsourced to another country. The excuse is, oh, well, these are jobs that Americans won't take. And I have always felt that there's no magic. The marketplace isn't working its magic. These are jobs that Americans won't take at the current price. So why not let the marketplace do its magic?
Well, guest workers is the subject of a big compromise agreement in this bill, right? Right, Bob?
Yeah, absolutely. And you know, dairy farmers and the ag industry, those are going to be questions that are going to be raised. And you have to remember that as far as dairy farmers, Senator Patrick Leahy, who heads the Judiciary Committee, is going to be shepherding this bill through his committee, and he's going to be looking out for that industry. So that's the big rub that immigration reform proponents say, is that, well, these are jobs that Americans don't want. But then you have the other side of the argument, is that, you know, unemployment is still pretty high. And is that a blanket statement? Is that blanket statement true?
Could guest workers wind up in, say, New York City restaurant kitchens?
That's a good question. I don't know. I don't know how broad it's going to be. Getting details from this bipartisan group has been been very difficult. We were hearing late last week there were rumors that the House was going to introduce the bill. We haven't seen that yet. So it's there are going to be a lot of questions that they have to answer. And remember, the use of the words here are very, very key, because, you know, of course, everybody says, well, this is not amnesty, but they, you know, stress citizenship and guest workers, and the words that are chosen here are going to be very carefully orchestrated.
And, of course, there's the immigrant workers at the other end of the income spectrum, and we're going to do a separate focus on that later in the week. Mark Zuckerberg, the Facebook founder, and others are lobbying for certain provisions having to do with tech workers, who they want it to be more easy for to come into this country. And there are some Americans who represent computer science grads and people like that in this country who are not so happy about that. So we will dig into that separately in a separate segment later in the week. Right now, my guest is Bob Cusack, editor for The Hill, which covers Capitol Hill. And I do want to move on to the developing gun law debate this weekend. President Obama did not give the traditional presidential Saturday media address himself. He turned it over to one of the mothers who lost a child named Ben, in the Newtown massacre, Francine Wheeler.
I feel Ben's presence filling me with courage for what I have to do for him and all the others taken from us so violently and too soon.
And you could hear her biting her lip and holding back tears even while delivering this presidential media address as a stand-in for the President of the United States. So emotionally powerful, Bob. But do you think it sways public opinion, or does it backfire on the president as manipulative, and does it sway any senators?
I think recently, Brian, it has started to change the minds of senators. A week ago, when you talked to members and aides, and it looked like gun control was slowly dying. But then the victims' families coming to Capitol Hill, meeting with senators, Senator Marco Rubio saying over the weekend is one of the most emotional meetings he's ever had in public service. That doesn't necessarily change all the votes, but it can change some of them. And clearly, Senator Patrick Toomey, who has this new agreement with Joe Manchin on background checks, he wants to get something done. Now, it remains to be seen whether he's going to get the votes. But I do think that Obama's use, and we've talked to some Democratic strategists, Obama's use of the bully pulpit, having the victims' families fly on Air Force One to come to Washington, that has had an effect. And I think the winds on gun control have changed toward the president and away from NRA. But that doesn't mean the president's going to win, because the huge facet of gun control, whether this is a big comprehensive bill or whether it's a watered-down bill, is whether the background check provisions get in there.
Now, both of New York senators were on the Sunday talk shows promoting the background checks bill. Here is Senator Gillibrand with David Gregory on Meet the Press, asked about her former high rating from the NRA when she represented upstate New York in the House.
That's why I know this bill will work and this compromise will work, because it is making sure that you protect Second Amendment rights. We're not undermining Second Amendment rights by saying criminals have to go through a background check before they can buy that weapon, or straw purchasers and traffickers can't be stemming these guns straight.
But the NRA doesn't believe that. The NRA does not agree.
This is not about the NRA. This is about families. This is about America. 70% of NRA members like the background check bill, like the straw purchase bill. They even support things like assault weapons ban. So if you're talking about people and you're talking about America and what Americans want these reforms. We just saw that mother who lost her child. You cannot do nothing in the face of that tragedy.
New York Senator Kirsten Gillibrand. And many Democrats this weekend, Bob, were kind of quoting an old Republican law and order talking point, really, saying things like the law-abiding have nothing to fear from background checks. Only criminals do, which is, you know, what Republicans say about things like massive surveillance. Well, you don't have anything to fear from cameras all over your city if you're not breaking the law. And so the roles are kind of flipped here politically on who has what to fear from background checks.
Oh, that's right. And the opponents of this measure going to the Senate floor, they don't like, I mean, in some ways, they don't like the bill, but they don't trust that senators are actually saying what's in the bill. And they see this as a slippery slope and that eventually it leads to confiscation. So sometimes it's not what in the bill, but what the next step would be after it. And obviously, as you know, Congress doesn't have a lot of high approval ratings recently, right. and people don't trust Washington. So,
yeah.
But that is how Democrats are trying to change the narrative, and they're also trying to split the GOP. And now we have, specifically on this background check bill, the Republicans are split. There are at least four Republicans who will vote yes, and they're probably going to be maybe a couple more.
And there's a group called Not the NRA, which I saw described on Politico as I don't have it right in front of me, the wording, but I think it's described as the second largest gun owners membership organization that has now endorsed the background checks bill. Are they meaningful politically?
You know, I don't think they're as meaningful. They're certainly not as meaningful as the NRA. And there are other groups that are to the right of the NRA, like Gun Owners of America, that also have a decent amount of sway that are not for the background check bill either. So is it something that Democrats are going to tout? Yes. Do I think it's going to that endorsement is going to be nearly as important as some of the things that have been going on recently, like the victims' families? No, I don't.
Right. And by the way, the official name of that group is the Citizens Committee for the Right to Keep and Bear Arms, which bills itself as the second largest gun rights group. The Citizens Committee for the Right to Keep and Bear Arms, now supporting the Manchin-Toomey agreement. Now, Senator Schumer on ABC this week raised a concern for New York about one possible amendment to the bill, and that is something called concealed carry permit reciprocity. That is, if you have a carry permit in one state, other states would automatically have to recognize it. Here's Schumer on that.
All the good that would be done by passing a background check bill will be undone if Congress requires reciprocal concealed carry.
And actually, correction, Schumer was on ABC this week yesterday, but he said that in a news conference. And, Bob, it's kind of the opposite of the Defense of Marriage Act, it occurred to me, where Republicans insist that no state needs to recognize a marriage legal in another state if it's not in their value system to do so. But a permit to carry a concealed gun, well, they're for all the states having forced reciprocity on that. I don't know if anybody's pointing out that contradiction in Washington yet, but that is what concealed carry reciprocity is, right?
That is. And that's what Schumer is very nervous about, this amendment that's going to be offered. He's nervous that it could get the votes to pass and then take down the entire bill, because then many Democrats and proponents of the bill would say they can't vote for the final passage. Marco Rubio making the case over the weekend that in favor of this amendment, because if you have a concealed weapon, then you've gone through a background check already. So this is going to be another close amendment to watch, I think it's going to be right around anywhere between 55 and 60 votes. These amendments will need 60 votes. The Manchin Toomey is going to be right around that 60
to
level.
Stay out of another. I thought they already had the filibuster on this bill.
Yeah, it looks like on a lot of these amendments, they agree that to have a bipartisan agreement on amendments, they agree that in order to hit the number, allow the number of amendments that Republicans and Democrats want, Republicans will say, okay, everything must hit the 60 threshold.
Huh. Do you think that concealed carry reciprocity would be a poison pill that would make many Democrats actually peel off?
I think yes, I do, because I don't think many Democrats would peel off, but if really any Democrats that were going to support it,
then you
back
can't
away,
get to 60.
You can't get to 60.
Yeah. One more clip of Schumer, just for the record. I don't expect you to comment on this, though you can, covering Capitol Hill. The host, Jonathan Carl, on ABC This Week, asked Schumer to comment on the New York Times Magazine cover story about Anthony Weiner, who says he might yet jump into the mayoral race.
Senator Schumer, before we go, need to ask you about somebody who some have called your former protege, Anthony Weiner. Obviously left Congress in disgrace, now is considering a run for mayor. I don't expect you to make any endorsements in the mayor's race, but tell me, does Anthony Weiner deserve a second chance?
Look, I'm not going to comment on that. How'd I know you'd ask that question, Jonathan?
You're not going to comment at all? Do you think you don't?
Nope.
Not
no
even
comment.
He deserves a second chance?
No comment.
How many versions of no comment can we hear from him and the other mayoral hopefuls? And how many versions of, well, it's really up to the public when a politician enters a race? Any last thought?
Well, you know, Weiner is a former aide of Schumer and
protege, as Jonathan Carl said.
Protege, exactly. And he's still radioactive, as evidenced by Schumer's no comment not going there.
But will he make the best mayor? I guess that's what people will have to decide, and whether they can forgive his transgressions if, in fact, he jumps into the race, and remains to be seen. Bob Cusack, editor for The Hill, which covers Capitol Hill, thank you very, very much for all the insight into what's going on down there.
Thank you. Enjoyed it.